what I'm going to talk about today is a project that we have been working on. And the motivation for this project is really, today, if you look at the market, now, even though hypervisor is free, but the competition for hypervisor is still pretty fierce. So whatever cloud management software that you have, even though hypervisor is free, but the cloud management software market is really dependent on the underlying hypervisor. And today, like, obviously VMware dominates the market. And the main reason is because it's a memory, physical memory utilization is doing, it is doing a very good job in terms of making use of physical memory utilization. So the main battleground for hypervisor competition today is really how to use this physical memory efficiently. And so there are various techniques that have been proposed in the literature, like how to do memory dedupe, ballooning, compression, or even you do memory load balancing. So what we are going to talk about today is how to do this job better. So we actually have a complete list of work, but today I'm only going to talk about how to probe, come up with the accurate estimation of the working set of VM and use that information to do various kind of memory virtualization optimization. So we all know what working set is. Basically, it's the active pages used by a particular VM at a certain point in time. And the size is, of course, the number of pages in that working set. So previously, people tried to estimate the working set from outside the VM. So they tried to trap memory access and do something. And or like VMware approach, like sample the memory pages from time to time, maybe set the pages invalid and then track their use. And then, you know, do so many pages so frequently. And the problem with this approach is, of course, high overhead due to this page access tracking. So our idea is whether we can leverage the page reclamation mechanism already in most of the guest OS, Windows or Linux, to estimate the working set size, and then use this working set size information to do memory ballooning. Right? In this talk, only talk about like ballooning. So let's review what Linux OS does with respect to page reclamation. So it keeps two LRU lists. One is called active and the other is called inactive. And then there are two types of pages in Linux. Basically, there's this called anonymous pages. Basically, pages that you acquire through malloc, like things in heap. And then there's something called page cache that's kept by the operating system for file system or disk cache. Now, when kernel is asked to allocate more memory, what does it do? It tries to evict pages from the inactive list first and then reclaim them. Now, if this page that get evicted or reclaimed is an anonymous page, the page basically go back to the swapped device. And then later on, if this page is needed again, then we get swapped in. Now, if it's a page cache, then if it's dirty, then we try to write it back. If it's not, then we just get rid of it, basically. And now, if later on this particular page in the page cache is needed again, there will be a refort event. So this is swap-in event and a refort event are Linux kernel event that indicates that something that it does previously is wrong. Like it kicks somebody out, and then they don't need it. Or it kicks somebody in the page cache out, and they don't need it again. So these two are actually very useful indications for us to track that this is something that the Linux kernel thinks that it tries to allocate the memory pages in a certain way and later on decides that it probably is not doing a good job there. Now, if there are no pages in the inactive list, then the kernel will just grab pages from the active list. But you would only choose those pages whose reference bit is not set recently. So that's the idea. So the basic idea is that whatever pages that Linux decide to evict tend to be cold. According to whom? According to Linux. All right. And we are going to respect that decision. All right. So once we have the working set information, then we can try to use this information to set the memory ballooning. So if you remember that ballooning basically is a mechanism for the hypervisor to reclaim some memory from the guest VM, right? So originally I give the VM probably like 1 gigabyte physical memory, but then I figure that this guy really doesn't need that much. Let's get something back. And that's the ballooning mechanism. So there are several approaches to set this balloon target optimally. So there are heuristics, right? You basically rely on users to provide some kind of hints to decide what is the right balloon size. Or, like in the case of Zen, it uses the so-called self-ballooning. And basically what it does is it looks at, in the case of Linux, a particular parameter called committed AS. That's the size of the anonymous page. So that think of that pages is the information, the VM estimate, the working set estimate of the VM, and then use that information. Now, using this committed AS anonymous page only, it cannot detect idle anonymous page. It just say that these are the pages that previously get allocated, but it's possible that these pages are allocated but never get used or not used at the moment. idle, right? And the other is it doesn't take into account page cache, right? Anonymous page is different from page cache. So what we are trying to do is that we try to use some kind of probing mechanism to probe it, to make sure that we can estimate the working set of the VM. So originally we did this just for the memory balloon, just to solve the problem of how to set the balloon target accurately. And the way we do it is very simple. We basically ask the balloon agent inside the VM to say grant more. And then if there's nothing, there's no revolt or swapping event, then we say good, because nothing goes wrong. Because the kernel says that nothing wrong, so we grant more, and so on. And we keep on doing this until later on it starts to feel a pain and start to do swap in and revolt. And then we know it's a little bit too much. Let's give the guy a little bit room and give back some of the memory. And we do this to tune that balloon target adaptively and do this adaptively based on the runtime condition. But then we later on figure out that maybe we can use this as a general mechanism to estimate the working set size of the Linux VM. And then this is the resulting algorithm. So basically we think of something called overhead count is the swapping event and the refold event count. Basically we have to count them. Right. And then the notion of estimated working set size is basically the amount of memory that we give the VM plus the overhead count. Right? This is because it's basically the original. Let's say I originally give the VM 1 gigabyte, and then the balloon target I set it to like 500 megabyte. Right? And then the refold and the swapping is another 100 megabyte. So 500 plus 100 is 600 megabyte, and that's the working set size. Now, the key design decision of this algorithm is how to make sure this probing overhead is minimized, right? Remember the previous approach to try to estimate the working set size of a VM outside a VM is that it has a high page access tracking overhead. So this algorithm, basically, we derive a finite state machine like this. It's actually very simple. So it has three states, fast, slow, and cool down. So initially, we set the balloon target to committed AS. Balloon target is the amount of memory I give to the VM. So I decide to give you like 600 megabyte, for example, because CAS says that. But remember, CAS is just the anonymous page. It doesn't take into account page cache. So I give it sort of something, CAS. And then I'll try to cut down the allocation by 5% every once in a while, right? And then I observe if there's a swap in or refold event. If there isn't, then I keep on doing it. And if there's a swap or refold event detected, then I go to the cool down stage. That means I'm doing it a little bit too much. So I'm trying to cool down in the sense that I probably would stop doing this cutting down the allocation, and then I'm wait and see, you know, whether this swap in and refold event is occurring sort of repeatedly. Then I know I'm indeed doing too much. And when I wait a little bit, then I go to this slow. In a slow state, when I go to the cool down state, the first thing I do is I give back the last sort of the deallocation, right? So last deallocation, because I'm doing a little bit too much, so I give back all the memory that I take it from the VM. So the first step is I give this memory back to them. And then I wait for a couple of iterations. And then after that cool down period is done, then I go to slow and I continue to probe. But this time I do like 1% at a time rather than 5% at a time. Now, in all of this state, whenever there's a committed AS change, that's what the kernel variable will say, the committed AS change, then I'll immediately start the whole process by doing everything to the fast state. So that's the basic idea. So it's very similar to this slow start algorithm, in the sense that we try to quickly get to where we want to be, but then once we do a little bit too much, then we slow down the probing process. And also this cool down period, right now it's set to 8 seconds. It doesn't have to. 10 seconds, 15 seconds actually work equally well. It's just to try to minimize the probing. I don't want to disturb the VMs too much. So now with this set, then we can do this active probing of working set. And like I said, that the pro is that you can more accurately track the working set of the VM and then set that balloon target more properly. And the con is that the overhead of probing. So the first thing we want to try is just compare this with commercial solution, basically VMware. So we know that the way that VMware does this is that, you know, when the memory starts to become low, then you try to estimate the working set. And how does it estimate working set? Like every once in a while, like 60 seconds, you would randomly pick 100 pages, set those pages as invalid, and then, you know, try to track them. If they get access, then they would turn on that bit, turn on the reference bit, and so on. And then use that to estimate the working set of the VM. So in this particular experiment, it's a synthetic workload. Basically, we give a VM, like initially probably 200 or 263 megabyte initially. And then I'm going to run some workload on top of it. So there are two cases. One is a 1200 megabyte application. Basically, it's just a synthetic application that allocates this much memory, just touch that uniformly. And the other is 300 megabyte. So what I want to see is between VMware's approach and this approach, how quickly can we eventually give the right amount of memory to this guy? Right. So in this case, the original configuration is that each VM should be given 2 gigabyte. But initially, I only allocate 263 megabyte to it. And then there's a workload, 300 megabyte, workload of 1200 megabyte. And then I see how long would it get to the right optimal point where, in the case of, 300 megabyte VM, it should eventually get 300 plus 263, like 563 megabyte. In the case of 1200, it will be 1463 megabyte eventually. So in our case, it takes less than 10 seconds to get to that because we are constantly doing this. Whereas in the case of VMware, it takes like pretty long, more than 100 seconds to get there. And the reason is because it uses random probing, and also it doesn't do it all the time, like what we do. Right? So this is just one indication that our thing is more responsive. Right? But then the real test is really to test real, sort of like more realistic benchmark. So here we try spec CPU, this is 401 benchmark. So and we are comparing this TWS ballooning, is a true working set ballooning, really estimate the working set and then set the balloon target versus cell ballooning. That's Zen's ballooning mechanism, which uses only AS commit, right? Only the anonymous page size, right? So as you can see, this is the timeline. So the x-axis is the timeline, the y-axis is the balloon target size. So the red one is the cell ballooning one, and the blue one is the TWS balloon one. So you can see that TWS ballooning is always slower than cell ballooning because it's more accurate. You can more accurately estimate the VM size. And also you see that there's this orange line basically indicates events of this, I think it's a swapping event. So whenever there's a swapping event, that means there's a change in working set in the VM, in the actual VM. And at that time, our algorithm will respond to it. And it takes longer for cell ballooning to respond to it, right? But in any case, the gap between TWS ballooning and cell ballooning is the fact that there are idle anonymous pages that we can identify, but cell ballooning guy cannot identify, right? So that's the gap. Now, if you look at the table down below, basically here we are comparing sort of the performance overhead versus the amount of memory. So there's a baseline case is that we give it as much memory as it needs, like 2 gigabyte. Definitely enough to hold whatever application that's running on the VM. So then we compare the performance as well as the amount of memory that we can save. So in this case, if you compare the cell ballooning and TWS ballooning, the overhead is between 4.11% of cell ballooning and 3.08% for TWS ballooning. We are slightly better, right? But if you compare the amount of memory that we allocate actually less compared to cell ballooning. So we allocate less memory to the VM, but the performance overhead is actually lower, right? So that says it's a good stuff compared to cell ballooning. So this is just one case, but in the other case, this is the Sysbench OLTP benchmark. If you look at this picture, it seems that TWS ballooning is actually doing worse compared with the cell ballooning because it allocates more memory compared to cell ballooning. But this is actually the right thing to do because in this particular benchmark, it's I/O intensive, so it actually needs a lot of page cache to support it. But in the case of cell ballooning, it doesn't take into account of page cache. Therefore, it allocates less memory than necessary to the VM. All right? And we actually accurately model the need of this application of the page cache and include the page cache in the working set size estimation. So this is actually correct. And how do you say it's accurate? If you look at the performance degradation, because cell ballooning doesn't give the right amount of memory to the applications, to the VM, so the performance degradation is about around 18%, and ours is still 3.31%, right? But if you look at the amount of memory, we actually allocate more memory, so that's why the difference between cell ballooning and TWS ballooning is we allocate more, so it's like about 6.7% more, And like I say, that's the right thing to do because that accounts for the page cache requirement of this test VM. So in conclusion, basically what I want to emphasize, this is sort of like one of those research that we try something and then we eventually realize this is the right thing to do. We can use it for more general mechanism. So we start to set a very simple problem, how to set this memory balloon target right. And so we figure that for Linux VM, maybe we can do this just to exploit the kernel knowledge to set this memory target. And then we figure out maybe this mechanism can be used to derive the accurate working set size for arbitrary Linux VM. It turns out that, you know, for various experiments, it turns out it works reasonably well. And then after you get the working set size, then everything is easy. So just to set that to the ballooning target, and then for different kinds of workload, it seems to work out just fine. Now, this is not really a complete project, obviously. Like once you have working set size, you can do a lot of things, right? You can apply this to memory compression, right? Like what's the amount of physical pages allocated to the VMM should be in a compressed form, and using compressed memory as just another layer of the memory hierarchy, and exactly how much of the memory should be compressed and how much memory should be left in the uncompressed form. Or you can do memory load balancing. Like on a particular physical machine, you have multiple VM. And obviously, when you don't have enough VM memory, you have to allocate memory among these coexisting VM in a way that can balance their memory requirements. And so all this requires a knowledge of the working set size of individual VM. And finally, the approach that I just described, in some sense, is cheating, right? So we still need to have some information about the kernel. One can argue that this is okay, right? Because anyway, it's Linux, so we can get access to some of the refold and swap in information. But in the case of Windows, we don't have that luxury. So we really have to do everything outside of VM. So some kind of VM introspection is required in order to get into the Windows kernel's details to get that kind of information. In exactly how to extend this approach to VM, Windows VM is something that we have been working on for a couple of months so far. And the initial sign seems to be some of this technique could indeed be extended to Windows VM, but probably not in the same way as, you know, deriving this swap-in or refold array information. We have to go another route in order to take care of this problem for Windows VM. All right, thank you.
Hi, Carl Walzberger. I like the idea of using the swap-in rate to help estimate the working set size.
Yes.
That's a nice idea. I did have a couple of other comments, though. You mentioned early on that the sampling approach used in ESX generates high overhead, but we're talking like 100 minor page faults per minute, which is noise. I don't really think that's inducing much overhead.
Okay.
The other thing is the rationale for that sampling based working set estimation in the original versions of ESX was due to the problem you pointed out about guess specificity. So that technique is a general technique that works on any kind of guess. But again, I do like the swap in idea.
Yes.
The last comment I'll make briefly is, with all these working set estimation techniques, you're looking at a single point, though, a single point in time. And I'm much more a fan these days of the miss rate curve-based approaches, where you can actually get the entire curve and make more intelligent decisions about where along that curve you'd like to be. That's not being shipped in current VMware products, but that those ideas exist and will probably come out at some point.
All right. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for the feedback. Yes.
I think that's the